Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got an interesting show today. We'll be talking to the heads of three of Illinois' institutions of higher education, mainly about how they're responding to the global pandemic. Later, we'll hear from the presidents of Bradley University in Peoria and Knox College in Galesburg. But first, the University of Illinois system has one of the most comprehensive reopening plans in the country. On the first day of the fall semester, the Urbana-Champaign campus ran 17,000 tests for COVID-19, and undergraduates are required to continue testing for the virus at least twice a week. The university has also developed an app to assist with contact tracing and to help contain the pandemic. The U of I's strategy has received national attention, but as we heard yesterday on the show, even the most robust testing strategy is not without flaws. An unexpected upswing in positive cases and trouble with contact tracing forced the Urbana campus to impose new restrictions on undergraduate students. To tell us more about how the school is adjusting to these issues and the school year ahead, we're joined now by University of Illinois System President Tim Killeen. President Killeen, welcome back to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Just fine.
Listeners, as ever, you are also welcome to join the conversation. The number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Are you a student or maybe a parent of a student with a question for President Killeen? Or maybe you live in Champaign-Urbana, Springfield, or near the Circle campus in Chicago? Are you comfortable with what the university is doing with regards to the pandemic? 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. And I also want to mention Illinois Public Media, which produces the 21st, is part of the University of Illinois in Urbana, which makes President Killeen my, as I said last time, boss's boss, I think. We try not to let that influence our news judgment, but you know, listeners can make their own decisions there. So I wasn't planning to start here, but obviously news of the day is the Big Ten is planning to resume play beginning the weekend of October 24th. It said the decision was unanimous, so I guess I'll just confirm. Did you vote in favor of that plan, and why?
Well, Chancellor Jones is the chancellor who's representing the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, but I've been in close contact throughout with Chancellor Jones, and so have been involved in the discussions through Chancellor Jones' perspective. And yes, it is a big announcement today, and I believe there'll be a press conference a little later in the day by Levy Smith and Josh Whitman, which will get into more of the details from the perspective of the University of Illinois. As a fan, I'm pleased, but I have to say that we're completely centered on the health of our student athletes and the communities that they're engaged with. So we'll be very vigilant about the testing protocols and everything else that the Big Ten is putting into place.
I wanted to ask the LSU coach, Ed Orgeron, whose team won the national championship last year. He said recently that he thinks, quote, most of his team had contracted the virus. And obviously there was the study at Penn State that showed where they had looked at COVID-positive athletes in the Big Ten, and up to a third of them had inflammation of the heart. I mean, is this putting football above player safety?
There's been considered discussion with medical experts on all of those issues. Athletes who may have had COVID in the past who fully recovered are COVID-free, and each team will be tested daily, is my understanding, for weeks ahead of games to make sure that it's a COVID-free circumstance. So that includes the trainers and the coaches and everybody involved. And of course, there'll be very careful testing of any heart incidences. If a student gets tested positive, there'll be immediate analysis of any issues associated with that, and then that student would drop out for the rest of the season, is my understanding. So there's been a lot of medical discussion and iterative analysis, and all of the chancellors and presidents have been heavily involved in that. I haven't but I've been watching carefully.
Sure, and I'm sure we'll continue to talk about the Big Ten. We have a lot of things we want to talk about, and I know your time is limited this morning, so I'm going to move on to talk about the reopening at the University of Illinois. Yeah. And obviously, the university created its own saliva test to rapidly test everyone on campus. We've talked about that on the show in the past. It's been, as I said earlier, nationally lauded. You've been doing a lot of media appearances talking about this. But there have been some hiccups with the plan, one being that some students at the Urbana-Champaign campus who tested positive seem to be ignoring contact tracers, which forced undergraduate students into more restrictive rules. Why do you think the university failed to account for that sort of human behavioral element that some students weren't going to cooperate?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I don't think there's been a failure at all. This is an amazing test regimen that we put in place. We've conducted in the last 4 or 5 weeks 300,000 tests, thanks to the brilliance of our faculty and our staff. And the whole point of our pervasive widespread testing is not to avoid an outbreak. Outbreaks may happen as people come in and infected. It's to deal with outbreaks. And that's exactly what we did when there was clear evidence, quickly assessed of where and when and how an outbreak was occurring. And we squashed it. So the whole approach on our campus is to give the virus no place to hide. And that's why we test everybody frequently. And I've personally been tested 6 times, and our students are behaving magnificently, I would say. And I'm very, very proud of our student response. Yes, there were instances of what you might call unofficial parties where there was transmission of COVID, but we caught it. We caught it before it had a chance to transmit broadly, and that's because of our testing regimen that's in place. So people should feel reassured that if you know where it is, you can deal with it. It's a tricky virus if it's hiding somewhere and it can be transmitting, you know, without you knowing about it. Mm-hmm. That's when it becomes problematic. We jumped on it, and successfully, as you've seen, probably the positivity now is down to 0.44 in Urbana-Champaign, 0.36% in UIC, and 0.17% at UAS. Those are enviable numbers. And we test.
Do you think, and not just you, but other college administrators across the country have overestimated the importance of the educational aspect of the college experience for students when compared with the social aspects, that many students would not be content to, you know, go from dorm to class to COVID testing tent back to the dorm and only that sort of route day after day?
Well, we know that that in face-to-face experience, being on a campus, interacting with your peers and friends is an important part of the whole college experience. And of course, we have these hybrid models in place that allow us to continue at some level despite the global pandemic that we're in. So we have to make the adjustments with the spatial distancing and the mask wearing and making sure there's a de-densification of the classrooms, but we do it in a way that actually measures and observes where the virus is. So you can't get into a classroom unless you've had a recent negative test and your symptoms are clear. So we have truly a national model. We've had tremendous interest from outside on how we're doing it and how we got the costs down and how it's non-invasive and so forth. So we're learning a lot. We're learning also about how students behave in different circumstances and how that aids or inhibits the transmission of the virus. And so there will be books written on the experience that we're going through now. But I can say it's going well. It's going really well. And I'm so proud of everybody involved who worked hard over the summer, interdisciplinary work, no summer holidays, just a lot of preparation. And the uptake of the app that you mentioned by the students, you know, 40,000 students downloading the app and using it. I think it is it's a great model for others to look at. And if there are a few further outbreaks, we'll jump on them too quickly.
So students, and I should remind listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Tim Killeen, the president of the University of Illinois system. And students and staff have access to widely available testing, but members of the broader community do not. And that even includes professors whose children can't access testing on campus. Do you worry that these students could be putting the community at risk? I mean, we've gotten calls on the show, people saying they're riding the buses in Champaign-Urbana, seeing students wearing masks in some cases. We heard about a grocery store worker who said she asked a student to quit eating chips in the checkout line, but the student pulled out her app and said, look, I've got a negative test. And that sort of thought, she thought that exempted her from public health requirements. What are you doing for the community?
Well, the question is, do I worry? And the answer is yes. We worry about all of those pathways that the virus could use to sneak around and to be transmitted. We have this this new technology, family of technologies that includes modeling, testing, and then the digital applications, the automated contact notification, exposure notification, that we really want to expand to more users, including the communities in which we're embedded, other public institutions in the state. So we're working with Governor Pritzker and his team about doing this and taking what we've learned and the technological know-how and expanding it more broadly across the state of Illinois. And we have concrete plans to do that. One of the things that just arrived is what we call a mobile shield lab, which is will be a transportable facility capable of doing 10,000 tests per day. And so we have, obviously, we can't take on everything instantly, but we're working through an overall plan that will allow this kind of family of technologies to be used more broadly, starting with our own communities and our families and our businesses in the state of Illinois, of course.
Is there a timeline for that? When could people, yeah. I mean, will there be a day, in December, say, when anyone in Champaign-Urbana can go drool into a tube in one of the tents on the Urbana campus?
Right. I really hope so. I think that's the kind of time frame we're working towards. We have made a lot of purchases of equipment to facilitate the expansion of the capacity. Right now, we're doing these 15 to 17,000 tests a day, which is a lot. And if we can duplicate and then triplicate that and deploy it in different places. So you will see in the next weeks, I would say starting 3-4 weeks from now, perhaps the first additional capability will be stood up, and then it'll be distributed more broadly. The very details of the logistics of that are still being worked out, because we've got to make sure the supply chains are there, we've got to get staffing in place, we've got to get the regulatory environment and so forth. So it's a non-trivial effort, but we're committed as a public-facing land-grant institution to serve the state and to help protect everybody that we can.
Just a few minutes left in our conversation. I want to ask, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin said in an interview last month that the U of I really had developed a revolutionary tracing and testing strategy, but that it shouldn't have had to. It shouldn't have had been up to the university to develop something like this on its own, that it should have received more help from the federal government. What would you have liked to have seen? What do you still need to see from the federal government in terms of its response?
Yeah, thanks. I think there's been a lot of necessary innovation that's taken place over the last several months. Our own narrative is that in the March-April timeframe, we looked around at how to open and stay open safely on this large campus in Urbana-Champaign, and pretty much quickly realized that we needed to innovate ourselves to get the costs down, to make the testing more pervasive, more fast turnaround, because if it takes days for the results to come back, then the virus has those days to transmit. And so we decided that we were going to just go for it ourselves to create something that didn't really exist anywhere else that we could see. Now that we've got to this point, I do think this is extensible on many different fronts. And there are other innovations taking place both in the federal government and in other university settings. And we're trying to keep in close contact with this rapidly evolving field. But I can tell you, Brian, how proud I am that the University of Illinois is now seen as the standard to match. And it's because of just the brilliance and the hard work of our talented faculty and the administration that's put in place the resources needed to open these tents up, to have the vials, to have the golf carts transporting things around, and the operational labs. So let's take a moment to be proud, but let's get our heads down and work on the next level of activities. There may be more pandemics in our future, so let's take care of this one through this rapid, fast, frequent testing strategy, which absolutely is working for us.
Well, and I do want to end. We have about a minute and a half remaining here. I want to end by looking ahead, because obviously the fall semester was one hurdle. There's going to be a spring semester. What are the plans for the university in the spring? What would it take? What are you watching to potentially have to close campus again?
Well, we're learning a lot, and we're learning how to keep a campus open with a hybrid model of instruction. I think we could, by the end of this semester, we'll be able to write the book on how to do that. And we're learning as we go, we're making adjustments, we're doing more frequent testing in some areas and less frequent testing in other areas, because we're assessing the risk and the nature of the of how we track the virus and contain it. In the spring, I'm very confident now we'll have version two of the all of these technologies in place on our three campuses, and we'll be able to once again have the best in kind experience for students. It still would unlikely look like it looked in 2018 and 2019, because we'll have to put in place protocols to safeguard lives and livelihoods. But we will have the best in of the breed available in the spring, and so we'll go forward with that assumption.
Tim Killeen is the president of the University of Illinois System, with campuses, of course, in Urbana-Champaign, Springfield, Chicago, and elsewhere. President Killeen, thank you for joining us today on the 21st.
Thank you. Take care.
Listeners, stay tuned. Coming up, we're going to be taking a brief but deeper dive into the Big Ten announcement today with our own Brian Moline from Illinois Public Media, taking a look at what is planned there. And then shortly after that, we'll be speaking with the presidents of Bradley University in Peoria and Knox College in Galesburg about how their smaller private institutions are responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. That's coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. Thank you.